across Wisconsin from Civic Media. This is Up North News Radio. Now, live from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Breitlow.
Well, hey there, Wisconsin. Good morning. It's 6:06 on this Monday morning, February 12th, 2024, and it's another beautiful day to have you here up north, live from Lake Wissota. From wherever you're listening, across the Civic Media Radio Network, the Civic Media app, social media, podcast, however you got here, nice to have you here as you, along with the rest of a nation, in a very groggy fashion, try to acclimate yourself to person, place, and time once again and get the week started after a long Super Bowl Sunday. So I got a question for you. What was the best part? Was it the game? Was it the commercials? Was it the celebrity sightings? Was it that your buffalo chicken dip turned out just the way you wanted it this time? Whatever it was, we'd be happy to hear from you at 844-967-2789. 844-967-2789 by phone, by text. Use that Civic Media app to drop us a line as well, because you can text that number and we'll see it here. You can put a comment on social media, and if we see that, we may put it up on screen. And then our email address is radio@upnorthnewswi.com. Up North News is a separate entity from Civic Media. We are owned by Courier Newsroom, and we actually have a Courier Newsroom set of guests coming up this morning. We will be talking about a new podcast from Courier Newsroom called Vibes Only. We're going to talk to the hosts, Brian Derrick and Glennis Mahar. They kind of have a unique take on the week's news and kind of call out the BS that skews some of the public perceptions of the election so far. So you're going to enjoy hearing from them. Selena Heller from Up North News will join me and have a couple of more kid interviews with a Valentine's Day theme. That's coming up day after tomorrow, he said out loud to himself, so that he remembers to go get a present at some point here. We're going to talk to Dr. Kristen Lyerly, who had a much busier weekend than she planned because, as Alicia puts up on Facebook here, the best part of the weekend was Mike Gallagher dropping out. In case you missed it, Congressman Mike Gallagher, young, has a promising future ahead in the Republican Party, occasionally comes off as moderate, and had the world ahead of him. Then decided he'd had enough of some of the MAGA rigmarole. Greg, that's a bell for you. Rigmarole. Thank you very much.
Oh, I know.
I know. Thank you. He had enough of the MAGA rigmarole and actually voted against trying to impeach the Secretary of Homeland Security. And for that, immediately brought upon himself the wrath of MAGA, which led to threats to primary him. And somehow or another, he just said, that's it. He's walking away. Whether it's a better job, whatever it was, we'll get into it with Kristen in a little while here. And let's see, Brittany Merlot will have our forecast coming up for the state of Wisconsin. Obviously, much more about the Super Bowl. But we're also not going to forget the news. And the news includes the former president of the United States essentially saying he'd be fine with the events that would trigger, I'm not going to say World War III because it's almost trite, but it could be true, saying he would actually encourage. Remember in 2016 when he said, Russia, if you're listening, I hope you'll hack into our computers, and they did. He basically invited them over the weekend to attack other NATO countries, saying that if he's president, he would not necessarily help defend Europe if Russia were to go beyond Ukraine. And by the way, if Ukraine were to go along with Donald Trump and Ron Johnson and others and surrender, Putin's not stopping there. I don't even know why I feel the need to say that out loud, but sometimes it feels like people need to be reminded. So there's some very serious things involved in what the president, the former president, had to say over the weekend. So a lot of news events to talk about this morning as well. Temperatures at 6 a.m. looked like this. The warmer spots are up north here. Lake Wissota, we're at 30 degrees up here. Hayward, 29. Park Falls, 28. Wausau, 23. Green Bay's at 29. La Crosse, 29. Wisconsin Rapids, 27 degrees. Oshkosh, 27. Then it gets cool down to the south where Madison is at 21 degrees. And all across Civic Media land, the coldest temperature is right next to Greg Bach in Waukesha, where it's 19 degrees. He's like a little scene out of Frozen. He's our little Olaf over here right now. Mr. Bach, good morning to you.
Hello.
How was the weekend? Did you have a good time with Maybelle? Did you watch commercials and football games?
Yeah.
Did you...
I watched the overtime. That was interesting. I still don't understand overtime in football. It's a very weird. Like, it's someone... It just feels like someone made it up as they went along and then said...
It does feel kind of, yeah.
All right, you win. You did fine. You're great. All right, everyone go home. Watched a couple of commercials, but really hung out with the dog and enjoyed a day off.
Well, it is because it's America's holiday.
I should have off today.
Yes. We talked about this on Friday. A lot of people really think the day after the Super Bowl should be a holiday. The NFL is not going to do that. They're not going to move it one more week to President's Day weekend, which is a holiday, because they know their numbers would actually go down because people would travel if you give them an actual holiday. So it's on the rest of us to either think to call in sick on Monday or just soldier through it.
I mean, it's really, I said it last week and I meant what I said. It is the most American thing if you think about it. Like, all other holidays are based in like a religious setting, like Christmas or Easter. Then you've got Thanksgiving. There's a time of thanks, July 4th, Memorial. Like, patriotic, religious, I get that. You're like, let's take a day, observe. This one's like, I ate too much chili dip and I need a Monday off, boss man. Like, holiday request I've ever heard of in my life. Like,
that's true. I would be embarrassed to ask for the next day off.
I would. It's not like the Super Bowl goes on until like midnight.
Right. Although, I mean, by the time it was all said and done, it was they were starting the post-game interviews after 9:30.
Yeah.
And here again is the dumb thing about the TV networks. Okay, the game itself has shifted from like mid-January to late January to early February, now to almost mid-February.
Yeah. Yeah.
And by the way, pitchers and catchers report to spring training this week. That's how deep in the calendar we're going. The game itself now stretches well into the night. And yet, you know, once upon a time, when it got over earlier, it made sense for the networks to want to premiere some kind of a new show, because there'd still be an audience there going, hey, we still got the evening. What are we going to watch?
Yeah.
You can't be starting a show at 10 o'clock at night, Central Time,
and
expect people are going to stick around for that and the news. And they did the late show with Stephen Colbert and Taylor Tomlinson's show. The American audience doesn't work like that anymore.
Nope.
I'll watch it all
on YouTube the next day.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, enough people are doing that just for the commercials, like you.
Yeah.
You know, you didn't see a lot of the commercials. A lot of other people didn't.
Yeah.
So, you know, but I did. And so he said, putting on his readers.
Ooh.
Again, I feel like I should get the old man bell just for that.
He's become Patrick Kreitlow.
Let me check my spectacles here. These are just, I'm not going to comment on every one of these commercials, but in my mind, there have always been a lot of celebrities in commercials.
Yeah.
It just felt like the list was even longer this year. You had Chris Pratt, you had Lionel Messi, Michael Cera, Christopher Walken, Arnold Schwarzenegger in what I still think might have been the best one for State Farm, with Danny DeVito, Tina Fey, Dan Levy, Jeff Goldblum, LL Cool J, Pete Davidson. Let's see, can't read his own handwriting. Oh, Ben Affleck, and the whole Boston crew there, Matt Damon, J-Lo. Let's see, we've got Jennifer Aniston, Beyonce, Jenny Ortega, Jason Momoa, cameos by people like Jennifer Beals. I mean, there was a lot to watch. David Schwimmer was in the Jennifer Aniston one. Yeah, some of them had such brief cameos. that, again, unless the commercial was like the greatest ever, you have to wonder if it was even worth it. And then the one I did save because it actually generated tears was at the end of the FanDuel one. Carl Weathers had made a cameo, and then they do a quick at the end of the commercial. They bring him up, a photo of him again, and thank you, Carl. And you know, everybody was just like, "Oh,
Apollo!"
I know.
I saw the teaser trailer for Deadpool and Wolverine, which I'm very excited for.
Yeah. See, now the movie ads are the one things that don't get to me because I don't see nearly as many movies as most folks do. But yeah, a lot of big movie ads came out as well. Somewhere in the midst of all this was a football game.
When I turned it on, like I looked at my phone, I'm like, the score, I'm like, it's 16-16.
Yeah.
In the fourth quarter. My goodness.
Mm-hmm. And then off it went to overtime. And so the Kansas City Chiefs actually did win the football game, beating the 49ers 25-22 in overtime, making Kansas City a back-to-back champion for the first time in 20 years since we've had back-to-back Super Bowl champs. Yes. Kansas City has now gone to 4 Super Bowls in the past 5 years and won 3 of them. Let's see. There was also, we didn't mention the halftime show with Usher, with appearances by Alicia Keys, her, Jermaine Dupri, Lil Jon, Ludacris. And it was okay. You know, it didn't, it said at the beginning, like, warning, the following show might make you want to get up and dance. I'm like, no, I didn't dance. It made me
get up and go to the bathroom.
Yeah, it's like, no, this is when I'm putting laundry away because nothing's bowling me over. But again, we've set the bar really high for Super Bowl.
You know what would be a great Super Bowl halftime show? Like Doobie Brothers.
Just Michael McDonald doing a whole bunch of Yacht Rock tunes.
Thank you.
Yeah, well, lucky you. Stick around for that. The other quick sports notes, the Bucks host Denver tonight. Catch that on some Civic Media radio stations. The Badger men's basketball team now has a 4-game losing streak after falling to Rutgers on Saturday. Meanwhile, the Marquette men, their win streak is at 7 after beating St. John's on Saturday. The Badger men's hockey team swept Notre Dame Friday and Saturday. The Badger women's hockey team swept Bemidji State and now have a 13-game win streak with 4 games to go. And again, spring's training starts this week. You're caught up on sports. We'll get back to some of the news and more on this Super Bowl Monday, February 12th, wherever you're listening across Wisconsin on this Monday morning. When you're here, you're up north, live from Lake Wissona on the Civic Media Radio Network. It's a Steely Dan song, but here comes Michael McDonald. The man can, for having such a sultry voice, he can hit the high notes. It's Michael McDonald's birthday, everybody. We'll be hearing Michael McDonald throughout the course of the day, making Greg Bach one very, very happy man.
So happy. I love, love, love Michael McDonald.
It's a little funny for me to hear that from you. I'm the guy that's supposed to be like, oh yeah, a grandpa there. He loves his Yacht Rock and everything. But look at that. He's got fans in all shapes, sizes, genres.
Love that man so much. I used to make fun of him. I thought it was ironic. Like, oh, Michael McDonald, blah, blah, blah. And then I went to a concert, and I was like, this is the greatest entertainer who ever lived.
Wow.
It was
huge.
It was amazing. It was a Christmas concert. The ticket said 8 o'clock. Lights went out at 8 o'clock. He was done at 10. I went home. And he played nothing but hits all night long.
Oh, see, that's the full package right there. Do you have the clip from 40-Year-Old Virgin?
I do.
The movie? They poke fun at Michael McDonald because he is. He's a kind of a polarizing figure, you know, one way or the other. And 40-Year-Old Virgin, is that 20 years old now, that movie?
I think 21 years old. I think it came out in 2003. And I would say happened, this is before America fell back in love with Michael McDonald.
Exactly, because you know the pendulum swings in entertainment, yep. and Michael McDonald and soft rock were kind of easy things to you know make fun of. So in this store, electronic store, where all the TVs are just playing a Michael McDonald concert on a loop, this was part of the exchange between
Paul Rudd and Jane Lynch.
Thank you, Paul Rudd and Jane Lynch.
Yeah, I got to tell you something. I'm really excited about it. For the first time today, I woke up, I came to the store, and I feel confident to say to you that if you don't take this Michael McDonald DVD that you've been playing for 2 years straight off, I'm going to kill everyone in the store and put a bullet in my brain.
David, what do you suggest we play?
I don't care. Anything. I would rather watch Beautician and the Beast. I would rather listen to Fran Drescher for 8 hours than have to listen to Michael McDonald. Nothing against him, but if I hear Yamo be there one more time, I'm going to Yamo burn this place to the ground.
See, that was what did it right there, was Yamo be there was, it's an easy thing to mock, you know?
Yamo gonna burn this building to the ground. That's a great line.
Good movie. So yes, we have Michael McDonald, birthday wishes today. Across the bumper music of today's Up North News Radio.
Michael McDonald.
And this makes Greg much happier than I otherwise would have expected. So that part is really nice. All right, for folks who missed it over the weekend, again, the weekend started with an absolutely embarrassing performance by the White House press corps. I would go so far as to say a double performance, because not only the Thursday night release of a partisan hit piece disguised as a special counsel / psychiatric medical evaluation, but then the next day there was another White House briefing with somebody from the White House counsel's office talking about how everything in the special counsel's report passed the introduction, exonerated President Joe Biden of mishandling classified documents such that there was absolutely no justification for criminal charges to be considered against the president. Again, compare that to what former President Trump is facing. Envision the boxes in Mar-a-Lago in a bathtub stacked on a stage where anybody could get to these things. Anybody could look at national security secrets. He's facing massive charges for that. The introduction to the Biden piece exonerates him of all of this, says, look, you know, he shouldn't have done it. But as soon as he found out that he had these things, he immediately called, had them returned, answered questions as often prompted by attorneys. If you don't know the exact answer to something, sometimes it's worthwhile to say, I can't recall, until you can get a more complete answer. The introduction of the report, on the other hand, is where the special counsel, Robert Hur, a Republican and a Republican-appointed special prosecutor, decided, for whatever reason, that he was going to be absolutely nailed by fellow Republicans if he didn't do something in there that was critical. Well, he could have been critical in several different ways, and instead decided to go essentially the dementia route, to play into the perceptions that are being generated by Republicans about Joe Biden's mental faculties, which is not to say he's not old. He is. Which is not to say he doesn't have memory lapses. We all do. Which is not to say he doesn't trip. We all have. But when you are of a certain age and certain people can package it and make it appear to be a stronger case than it otherwise would be if you saw and met and watched the man in real life, well, now you have the makings of a hit piece. And that's what people were talking about. And what we'll be watching today is whether that is still the topic du jour for the national media, or might it be what Donald Trump said over the weekend about whether, if he's reelected, people should be concerned about his earlier disparaging comments about the NATO alliance, the thing that is preventing the reformation of a Soviet Union. And what Trump said was, in so many words, that he would encourage Russia to attack or invade other NATO countries. And he did it under the guise of that, you know, if they don't pay up, because again, with this guy, everything is money. But that's not how NATO works. NATO isn't like a dues-paying membership. They're not like needing to write a check out to Donald Trump or to the United States. It is based on a certain percentage of your total budget, your each of individual country, goes toward the defense of Europe. And NATO countries are doing that. It, of course, pales in comparison to the United States and the size of its budget. But again, Trump makes it about money, then says, well, if they're deadbeats, then what do we care if Putin invades you? Which again has, first off, nothing to do with how it works. And second, only reinforces what any of your Republican friends and neighbors absolutely loathe to hear, but it's still true. Hillary Clinton was right about Donald Trump, especially him being a Putin puppet. Everything he's done, every time that he has absolutely kissed up to Putin and to the leaders of China and North Korea and Hungary and others, only reinforces what he wants to be and what he wants to do. He loves to talk about an invasion coming across our southern border, you know, an invasion of people that want to wash our dishes, cook in our restaurants, make beds, try to make a safe and secure life for themselves. The real invasion would be coming from Eastern Europe, into Eastern Europe. And Donald Trump is actually trying to aid and abet that invasion. Kristen Lierley is going to be joining us next about the big news of Mike Gallagher not running for re-election next. You're up north. It sure looks good. Talking a little bit more about Michael McDonald in just a little bit. As somebody turns 72 years old today, but I'll bet Greg would agree, still has the voice of an angel after all these years.
So let's make one thing clear. You listen to that high-pitched tone of his voice that's so Michael McDonald.
Yes.
And then when you listen to him speak, it's like three octaves lower.
Yes. It's quite a range.
The man is without fail.
Mm-hmm. It's like listening to you talk about Luke Mathers over here. I want to be admired by you as much as Michael McDonald and Luke Mathers are. I got to step up my game. You know, between Mathers, Michael McDonald, and Kristen Lierley, how does a guy crack that list? Dr. Lierley joins us now. How are you?
Happy Monday, fellas.
Hey,
she's trying. We're all moving a little slower.
We all need a little yacht rock to break open the week, so let's go.
Yes, good. See, I like this. I am among friends here. And I picked that particular song with a purpose. The Doopy Boys, It Keeps You Running. As I turn to Dr. Lierley and say, hey, did you hear the news over the weekend?
I wasn't really paying attention to what's happening.
Well, here, I'll bring up the comment again from Alicia, who says, the best part of the weekend was Mike Gallagher dropping out. We're going to talk about that in a second. I also want to put up Roger's comment, because I talked about Trump being okay with, you know, Putin invading Europe. But I also forgot that over the weekend, Trump mocked Nikki Haley's husband, saying that he hasn't seen Nikki Haley's husband. Where is he? Where is he? He said. And finally, social media answered, you dullard. He's in the army. He's deployed right now over in Europe. So, you know, again, here's what Trump thinks of, you know, troops and how he just loved him. And this from a guy who I haven't seen Melania on stage anytime recently. Have you? Anybody? Anybody see Melania? All right. So he can stand down. So a couple of listener comments there. But starting with Congressman Gallagher, I mean, Kristen, I'm not going to lie. Did not see that one coming.
I didn't either. I was absolutely shocked when it happened. But, you know, now looking back and looking at the squeeze play that we're putting on him in Northeast Wisconsin by calling out his record, everybody always thought that he was so moderate and so nice. But when you actually look at his record, he's actually been fairly extreme. This is a man who introduced a life begins at conception bill, which would be a national abortion ban. It's hard to get through this cycle when you are that far to the right on the issue that people are really voting on.
And the funny thing is, you can be way to the right on basically everything. All you got to do is one time is to tick off the Trump base in whatever way. It could be Oklahoma Republican James Lankford working on a bipartisan border security bill, because that's initially what Trump wanted before he changed his mind. And now he's persona non grata. So many other Republicans, now Mike Gallagher, for the sin of understanding that trying to impeach the Homeland Security Secretary is foolish. So he votes no. And immediately, I mean, Kristen, you know, the big talk on Friday was that there was going to be a primary challenger to Mike Gallagher. I don't think he was going to have a problem with a primary, but he would have had to deal with it.
Well, I think that that's been brewing for a long time. You know, we've seen in the party structure in Northeastern Wisconsin that they have been consistently moving to the right and moving away from where standard Republicans have been. So they're out of touch with their own base, with the people that they think that they represent. And I think we're really going to see that come November. I've had many conversations with people who used to identify as Republicans and now just simply call themselves conservatives as they're waiting for the party to come back.
Oh, there's so many people that feel politically homeless these days. And so it was just Thursday. And if I wanted to make this all about us, and why not? let's make it about me. I believe that Thursday's panel with you and the other ladies who are considering running for Congress, I think that might have been the final deal. I'm guessing that over the weekend, the congressman finally caught us on podcast, which you can find at civicmedia.us. Heard
good
the panel
plug.
And said, thank you. Got to stay on branding. It's all about the branding. And said, you know what? Enough of this. He heard footsteps. And have you been in touch with, it was Alicia and
Kelly.
Alicia and Kelly. I'm sure they understand the same thing.
Alicia and Kelly and Julie Hancock, who is the mastermind behind all of this, and I have been talking all weekend. So when the news broke on Saturday, the conversation has not stopped, because this isn't just about a seat. It isn't just about winning the 8th congressional seat, which is so much more doable now than it was when Mike Gallagher was the incumbent, but it's about making sure that women have an opportunity to step up and serve all across Northeastern Wisconsin and all across Wisconsin. So we're all trying to figure out, where do we fit? What seats are going to be available to us? What are the maps going to look like? That's another thing we should talk about this morning, because there might be some motion in the maps. We'll see.
Well, that one is, from the people that I've talked to behind the scenes, that cuts both ways as well. And what we're talking about is whether Republican legislators are trying to short circuit the Wisconsin Supreme Court and any new maps they'd come out with by essentially capitulating and saying, fine, we will pass the map submitted by Governor Evers, because Governor Evers has indicated that he would sign his own maps if they were to pass. There are Democrats not happy about that, saying, look, we have a chance to get even better maps from a fairness, nonpartisan standpoint from these consultants who are working with the Wisconsin Supreme Court. So, I mean, things are very much in flux right now.
Yeah. And last week I even said, I don't think that the Republicans are going to come to the table with a serious proposal. But now I think when they're looking at all of the options that are out there, they recognize that the governor's maps are their best option. And I hope that the governor recognizes that the experts came back and judged all of these maps, and maybe his map isn't the best map when it comes to fairness. So I don't know. We'll see what the governor's team decides. We'll see what the Republicans put out there. But I think we're going to see some motion this week, and it's going to be pretty exciting.
And so, and not only on the legislative maps, but in terms of, you know, the congressional district maps, there is a case filed that is asking for new congressional maps as well. There's no guarantee that that can happen and happen quickly, but it is another one of those possibilities. So, I mean, stand by for news is really really kind of the phrase of the next couple of weeks here for candidates, for parties, for voters.
Everyone I've been talking to is excited, just waiting, ready to jump in. Wisconsin is the place to be watching. If you are interested in political news, man, it doesn't get any better than Wisconsin 2024.
And if you're not, if you are somebody that follows this, you know, because you like the chatter and some of the other side topics, but you're not deep into politics, I would hope that you would appreciate that this is still so important to everybody who doesn't follow politics, not because of the drama necessarily of the courts and the lines and everything, but Kristen, it's about representatives who are more, I'm sorry, representative of, you know, Wisconsin's actual mainstream values.
That's exactly what it's about. I mean, there are those of us who really are interested in like the whole drama of it, but for everybody, it matters, which is why right now you can go to myvote.wi.gov and sign up to register to vote if you're not registered, and you can sign up for your absentee ballots for the whole year. We've got 4 important elections coming up this year. Most of us do. So get in there, sign up for your absentee ballots. It comes right to your house. You can do everything right there. That means that you won't be standing in the polling booth wondering, I don't know who this down ballot candidate is. I don't know, maybe they have the right letter next to their name, so I'm going to go with that person. No, do your research, because this year it always matters, but this year it really, really matters.
Yeah, I know people say, oh gosh, every time they say it's the most important election. Well, count your lucky stars, because you live in an era where right now, yes, each succeeding election has been even more important than the one that came before that, because the stakes are so high. And the stakes are so high because of, frankly, the very real threats that are out there if elections don't go well. You know, when you've got a former president saying, yeah, I'd be okay if, you know, Putin started to invade, you know, some of the Baltic states and, you know, in Poland. And really, we're just going to let that go, huh?
No.
No.
Well, in Wisconsin, I mean, people may not understand that Wisconsin is particularly important. If you live in California or New York, you kind of know how things are going to go, especially on a higher level. But here in Wisconsin, our votes matter on every level, from school board all the way up to the presidential contest. That's why we see so many political ads. That's why we see so much attention when it comes to a year like this where we're electing a new president. So if you think your vote doesn't matter, you're wrong. Your vote absolutely matters. So please use it, and use it wisely.
All right. We ready to shift back to the game here? Did we miss anything?
No.
So Greg, so Chris, every so often, you know, Kristen kind of, you know, Bigfoots us, you know, it's like, well, I can't do such and such. I'm talking to the BBC, or, you know, I'm meeting with, you know, Senator so-and-so, or whatever.
305 babies today. Sorry. Have your football.
Texting with Kristen yesterday about getting set for today's segment. And she just kind of casually drops in, Greg, oh yeah, did I tell you I was once in a Super Bowl halftime show? I'm like, of course you were. Of course you were.
Pat, permission to cut her camera.
There's more to the story.
At first, I saw she's got a T-shirt. It says Minnesota across the top, so I thought maybe it had something to do with, you know, the Super Bowl was at the Metrodome once, and that's the one you were in.
That's hockey, isn't it? It's hockey?
Yeah, she's got a Minnesota Wild T-shirt on because she's up on Derange there in the state of hockey. But, so you were in a Super Bowl halftime show.
I was in the worst Super Bowl halftime show of all time. It was called Winter Magic.
Yeah, this isn't quite up with people from Super Bowl I, but it's close.
It was the Super Bowl halftime that Fox preempted by doing a live showing of In Living Color, and more people turned the channel than actually watched the Super Bowl halftime. And that changed the future of Super Bowl halftimes. The next year, Michael Jackson was the star.
Yes, and that was the start of when people go, when did halftime shows get so crazy? It was Michael Jackson, and they booked Michael Jackson because of Yeah, the networks would like show a preview of a show or whatnot. And so there'd be like, you know, marching bands and other traditional halftime fare. And so what was it, Winter Magic? And so what was your role?
I was playing the cymbals, but not hitting them together because we couldn't, because of the way that the sound echoed on the field in the Metrodome. So I had to like pretend to play the cymbals.
You were an air band.
It's like watching the Macy's Day Parade and like they're like, and now John Cicada. You're like, you're not even singing on key, dude. You're on time. It's awful.
Hey, but we had Brian Boitano and Dorothy Hamill skating on little fake ice snowflakes.
Cool.
It is magical. It's
And Gloria Estefan. She sang.
The Miami Sound Machine.
It was magic. It was winter magic at the Metrodome.
let's put it this way. Dr. Kristen Lyerly was part of a game-changing halftime show where they were like,
there you go.
Like that's
never
it.
Again.
Yes. Well, we can leave that part out, but we can just say, yes, a history-making show.
The most influential halftime show.
Oh, it influenced people, that's for sure, one way
I
or the other.
I reflect that back to my friends in the marching band who were all abuzz about it last night as we were recalling our wonderful experience.
I will say, though, when we talk about like lip syncing or whatever, Usher, by the end of the halftime show, I was like, is he winded? Because there were plenty of times where you could hear the backing track where he's kind of his own backing vocal, but you couldn't hear. But there, I wasn't crazy about the audio work to begin with. Yeah. It sounded a little bit off. Mm-hmm. But there were times I'm like, is he letting the background singer sing, or is he just like, because, you know, there's a lot of dancing things in there. I'd be out of breath. I'm not Usher. I'm not singing in front of 3 billion people with my shirt off.
Singing and skating. He had a little Xanadu moment.
I know. Xanadu. Oh, nice callback.
Oh, my God.
Coming up next, today's history lesson, musical memories, and it all starts with a Pat and Kristen duet from Al Green. That's next. You're up north. Everybody, join in.
Stay together.
I'm so in love with you.
Come on.
Nice.
I think we already.
You want me to.
We've already
this
determined.
This reminds me of Obama.
Yes. And I'm no Obama, but the timing is also just like a half a second off when we do these kind of Zoom type shows. So for the actual duet, you'll have to tune in to Katie Rosenberg's Karaoke Wonderland because, Kristen, you recall you and I did promise Wausau Mayor Katie Rosenberg we would show up some night in Wausau for karaoke. We promised that at the convention last year.
I think after an old-fashioned or two, we may have made that promise.
I know you did. I haven't fulfilled my end of the deal yet, so we got to do it again. Selena Heller's here as well. Selena, how are you?
I'm good. How is everyone?
Everybody's great because we've got Al Green to kick things off because "Let's Stay Together" was the number one hit on this day in 1972 as part of today's history lesson. Also, the birthday of Abraham Lincoln
and Charles Darwin.
And Charles Darwin and the NAACP was founded this day on what would have been Abraham Lincoln's 100th birthday in 1909. And, of course, the birthdays include author Judy Blume, who is 86 years old today. Arsenio Hall is 68. Supreme Court Justice Brett Kavanaugh is 59 beers into his 2024 so far.
Oh boy.
I like
and
beer.
Of course, the big one, Michael McDonald, 72 years old today. You just want to play this for 4 more minutes, don't you?
Mm-hmm. Getting into it.
I'm at the age now where, like some of these songs are becoming the sample track for hip hop classics from the 90s.
Yes. Uh-huh.
But I'm now at the edge where I'm like, give me the originals, those hip hop songs that the garbage. Like Michael McDonald and the Isley Brothers, they're the bee's knees.
Sometimes I try to explain that to my kids and they just shake their heads. Like, you know, this song by Billy Joel was, and
Mom,
like,
I don't care.
Stop, Mom.
Mom, I don't care.
Oh, no. I loved to do that as well, though. When sampling was, especially when Will Smith would sample.
Yeah.
And I'd be like, oh, that's a remake. Dad, it is not. And then I'd pull up the original and be like, oh, okay.
My uncle did that to us for MC Hammer's You Can't Touch This.
For Rick James.
Yeah,
right?
My uncle's like, Rick James wrote this song. We're like, no, we didn't. We dug in real hard.
Actor Josh Brolin is 56 years old today, and as is Chyna Phillips from Rock and Roll Lineage and the group Wilson Phillips.
Mm-hmm. Come on, Dr. Lyle. Come on. All right, Selena.
Now Selena and Kristen with their duet, right?
We could do this.
Yep. Seriously,
add this to the karaoke list.
We have to make the live show happen one of these days. The live in person show.
There'd be so much singing.
Yep.
Lyerly and Heller on stage live.
On this day,
it's a Heller of a show. That's no Lyerly.
Nice.
On this day in 1977, Barbara Streisand got her fourth number one album. This one, the soundtrack from A Star Is Born.
That's a risque cover.
Soft as an easy chair.
There's nothing that says 70 soft rock like this one.
No.
Fresh as an easy chair.
Right now, my mother, Jackie Box, like, Barbara? Is someone playing Barbara?
I know. My mom, too. She's like, I knew he liked Barbara Streisand. He said he didn't like her all these years, but I knew he...
To be fair, my cousin Thomas, he's like, Barbara, is someone playing Barbara?
Legend. Yes. On this day in 1981, Rush released their album Moving Pictures.
You ready?
Yeah, I'm ready. With cuts like this. There was Limelight, YYZ in this.
Monday warrior, mean stride. Today's Tom Sawyer, mean pride.
On this day in 2004, the city of San Francisco began issuing marriage licenses to same-sex couples in response to a directive from then-mayor Gavin Newsom, now California governor. So again, that was 20 years ago today. On the calendar today, this is National Clean Out Your Computer Day, National Hug Day, International Epilepsy Day, Freedom to Marry Day, Union Day for the historic birthday of John L. Lewis from the United Mine Workers, and something called Oatmeal Monday. So somebody trying to make Oatmeal Monday a thing.
That's terrible.
That's stupid. I love oatmeal. That's stupid.
I love oatmeal. I make the old-fashioned kind.
I love oatmeal, too.
Yeah. But you can't have it both ways, Kristen. You love oatmeal or blah?
Oatmeal Monday. Don't put that together.
Oh,
that's
okay.
Just compounding two, like, meh things for people.
Put her in timeout over here. Selena, did you see much for commercials or the game?
Yes, I saw some, and I saw the commercials. There were a lot of celebrities this year.
A lot more than extra. Yes.
And a lot of flash dance.
Oh, yeah. Flash dance was a theme in there. That's right.
That's probably the best one.
Yeah. Did you think that was which are you talking about, the T-Mobile one or the Nerds Candy one had kind of a theme going too?
Oh, well,
but I like the T-Mobile one with Donald Faison, Zach Braff, and then Jennifer Beals making an appearance at the very end there.
Hello, Jason Momoa. That's all I saw.
Oh, was he in there too? Oh, I missed that. Oh, that's right. How were we on the Dunkin' Donuts one with Affleck and J-Lo and Matt Damon?
Do you know how much money Ben Affleck was paid for that?
$10 million.
No. How much?
$10 million.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah!
$10 million.
For that? What? I mean, it was cute, but I mean, come on.
Can they make that up? I suppose you know they know, but jeez.
It's because it's a Boston thing. One of my favorite Super Bowl commercials is still the Smart Park car with John Krasinski, Rachel Dratch, and Chris Evans just putting it like, hey, you got Smart Park there. You got Smart Park? You got Smarty Pants? He's can't get the Hobbit to the yacht? Oh, my God. I love that commercial. Well, that's
the Schwarzenegger one.
I like the Schwarzenegger one, like a good neighbor. Neighbor. This woman's going into labor. I'm flying off in the chopper, which is actually, it's kind of a Boston thing. I know, but I like the Danny DeVito cameo in there as well. So we'll talk more about Super Bowl commercials. Also, it's Valentine's Day, and Selena Heller has talked to some of the youngins as she's got her Be Mine heart candy, you know, t-shirt thing going or sweater going for the big day. You're up north.
Aww. 1.1 FM WAUK. Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.